Welcome to selfdiscoveryradio.com, where the orchard of wisdom is just ready for picking. We celebrate your why, the journey that you've taken that inspires someone else. We support your services. We support your story. Come and be our guest. Become a host. Be an author with us. Come see what we've got. Our next show is... Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Choose Positive Living. And that is a choice, isn't it? I'm your host, Sarah Troy. And my guest today, all the way from Australia, is Andrew Matthews. The poor guy is up at 3 o'clock in the morning to do this. Bless your soul. And he's in a hotel room. So unfortunately, his entourage of lighting and action and makeup couldn't be with him today. So he might be a little bit blurry, but the content is certainly not going to be. Is why happy people are more successful and how can you be more like them? How does life work? How do we step into the joy, the exuberance of it, especially when we get bombarded by everything on the exterior? We get so caught up in the hysteria of life. So how do we step into joy, into fun, into laughter, into that success without getting so bogged down? Please, Andrew, tell us how life works.
Well, you know, firstly, what a pleasure it is to be with you, even though it's 3 o'clock here. You know, my new book, How Life Works, I had to investigate this thing that we grow up believing that when we become successful, we'll be happy. Mm-hmm. And it's a myth. And it's actually the reverse. And that the fact is that happy people become successful. And yes, it had been fascinating for me over many years. And I've written several books, I guess 9 or 10. And
just 9 or 10, just, you know. Yes. You know,
that's over 30 years, so it's not that impressive.
Oh, it's still impressive.
but one of the things that I'd never explored and I thought was really needed to be looked at and understood was, why is it that we come across people who aren't that well educated? They don't necessarily work harder than anyone else, and yet they have these magical lives where they move from one success to another. Mm-hmm. How is that, and how can we be more like them? And the fact is that they just feel better about life. They is how they feel about themselves, and feeling is vibration, and that's how we talk to the universe. And yes, not enough books talk about that, and not enough books talk about that in a way that we can understand. So How Life Works is an attempt to simplify it so that we can all use it.
Simplify. I mean, on many a show, you know, simplification, and you know, it's got nothing to do with intelligence. It's just how we go about our life, how we perceive it, how we tap into that energy you're talking about. Yes. And when we, you know, I had a 9-year-old who had written her first book called 365 Days of Gratitude with a Positive Attitude, and the bottom line of it is that simple statements, you know, I'm so grateful today I had a good day at school. And yes, it's a simple statement, but we forget about that, don't we? I think yes, happy people very often are people who live in gratitude for what they have, and they're not paying attention to, well, I haven't got that. I'm grateful for what I have today.
There is nothing which will transform our life faster or more completely than a sense of gratitude. Mm-hmm. There's one cartoon that is in How Life Works, and it underlines this, but I think it also underlines the fact that a lot of us understand it, we just forget it. And there's a fellow with one single piece of cake, and the comment next to him is, happy people focus on what they have, and mm-hmm, he's happy. And there's another fellow, and he's got a whole piece of cake minus one slice, and he's looking miserable. And the comment next to that is, unhappy people focus on what's missing.
Yeah.
So it's not what we have, but it's what we focus on. The interesting thing about that cartoon was, I posted it on my Facebook page, and I knew it wasn't a funny cartoon, but I thought it had a message. Mm-hmm. And when I checked my Facebook about 5 days later, it had 2.5 million views.
Wow. Yes. Because it hit home, didn't it?
It hit home to anybody who's not even necessarily into exploring self-help and
right.
and getting too deep, but it is so true.
You have another one here, which I had to put up on your posting here on selfdiscoveryradio.com, and it's a gravestone with somebody putting flowers on it, and it's RIP. Here lies someone who is going to be happy tomorrow. Another one of those. How many hits did you get on that one?
Yeah, well, that's from my first book, Being Happy, and it has been a cartoon that people refer to over the years. It's really resonated. And for me, the reason that my books are full of cartoons is that it's so much easier if we can get a message in a simple image.
Yes, I'm a statement person. In fact, one of the shows I've done, I do my own show every week as well, just on my perspective and my thoughts. And I'm always seeing a beautiful picture and it speaks to me and I put a saying to it, or I have a saying and look for a picture. So I decided to do my whole show on that until it came to editing to YouTube. And then I realized, what have you done? But I think those are the things that I think sometimes, again, goes back to that simplicity, doesn't it? That sometimes just a simple picture and a simple statement can kind of take all that chaos that's going on around you and just hone you in to something that you need to know in that moment.
Yeah, because our philosophy of life is the foundation on which we build our entire experience. And sometimes just a simple statement like, look for good things in life. Mm-hmm. This is, you get up every day and you say, what do I like about my wife? What do I like about my job? What do I like about my husband?
Yeah.
It's the questions that we ask that are so important.
But that's also the vibration. Because if you are, you know, what do I like? You look for something you like. That's what you're feeding. If that's what you're feeding in that vibration, that's what you're going to be receiving. If it's like, oh, I don't like the way he does this, or I don't like the way she does that, all of a sudden that becomes magnified, doesn't it? And you get more of it. So I think we have to realize on the vibrational level is the vibration that we choose to ride, the wavelength, the frequency, is the tone that we're going to get back. So, quote, choose your music carefully.
Yeah, very much so.
And one of my shows I used to have, the music was Good Vibrations.
Okay.
Yeah, because it is about that, getting into those good vibes. But, you know, people say, yes, well, you know what, I have, you know, my job and I don't like it. And you know, I've got the kids at home and then, you know, I don't know how I'm going to reach the car payment. How can I be happy? And they get so bogged down. They just don't know how to pull that one thread of, you know, I'm just going to pull this happiness thread and see where it takes me.
Yeah.
How do people that are in that turmoil just choose to find something joyful?
Well, it's an interesting word you use there, choose, because happiness is much more a choice than many of us grow up believing.
Mm-hmm.
So we do choose happiness by what we choose to focus on. And it may come down to simple things like choosing not to complain for 24 hours.
Right. Yes.
It's obvious that we talk about what we think about, but the reverse is also true. We think about what we talk about. And if we start to discipline ourselves not to complain about everything that isn't perfect, then we leave some space to think about happy things. So it can be doing a simple exercise like, I'm not going to complain for the next 24 hours. That is one thing we do.
But that also forces people to look around them of something to be grateful for. Opposite of complaining, being gratitude for. And I think if people are actually forced down that road, you know, you're not allowed to complain. You can't put your energy there. Start looking at things to be grateful for. I think that they will actually be very, very surprised of how much they do have.
Yes. And so then that leads to things like having a gratitude list.
Mm-hmm.
When we implement a simple discipline like writing down 3 or 10 things that we're grateful for every day, then what we find is we start looking at what it is that we're grateful through the day, because we know that we've got to make a list at the end of the day or beginning of tomorrow. So it changes our focus again. So that is why gratitude lists are so good.
Yeah.
There's another thing that we can all do that is a delightful thing that I did when I was needing to be more grateful.
We've all been there.
Yeah. I made a gratitude board next to my desk at home.
Yeah.
And I got photos of all the experiences that I was most grateful for, all the people that I've come across in my life that I love the most, pictures of where I've been with my wife, Julie, and pictures of us on vacation in Korea or wherever it may be. And I look at that board every day, and I don't want to say how happy I was.
Right.
I want to look at that and say how lucky I am.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a joy to create that gratitude board. It's just a, yeah. it's just an album of all the things that I feel blessed for.
But you see, when in that joy, every time you look at it, it takes you right back to that joy, doesn't it?
Because
you know, and I'm actually, as you can see, in a room myself because I'm in transition, looking for a new home in a new city. And so right now, I'm just in one room. But because I need my loved ones around me, my entire wall to my right here is my family. And I love looking at them because it always takes you to those memories. Even if they've gone, you go to the memories of when they were here. Above me is my daughter's art, and it's so colorful and vibrant and so moving. So if you're starting to get bogged down, I look up. And it takes me to those places, and immediately it kind of shifts you out of, I'm going down that rabbit hole or getting bogged down. So I think it's an excellent exercise. Do something, enjoy. And every time you're needing some joy, look at it because it can't help but take you back there.
Yeah, yeah. A great, great little disciplines that we can implement.
Mm-hmm. The other thing is switch off the news, isn't it? You know, don't buy the paper. You'll hear about it. People will talk about it. But, you know, we don't really need to keep being bombarded by the latest disaster or tweet or something going on. You know, we can be aware of what goes on without having to be drowned in it.
We can keep it in perspective and understand why the news is like it is. And the fact is that there's a part of us that likes to be surprised or shocked or amazed or even scared. I mean, that's why people watch horror movies.
Yeah.
And so that is what drives the interest in the news. And, you know, one of the things that I notice is that if I sometimes have the morning TV news on, that I will be listening to the same news like three or four times. And I've already heard it. And I don't need to hear it again, but I'm listening to it again. And I think, why am I doing this?
Yeah, exactly. And it bogs you down because I think you get to the end of it and you feel, I feel powerless now. I can't do anything. Why am I going out and seeking joy and abundance when the world is going to hell? It's not going to be around tomorrow, you know? So it's very despondent, you know, it makes you very despondent. So I think it's, yes, there is aware that stuff is going on. You can't bury your head. Life is moving in other parts of the world. And I think, you know, being grateful for what we have, especially when you hear horrible things happening like in Syria and other places.
Yeah.
And then what can we do with our heart and compassion, step up and help, because that will make you feel happy as well. But it's being aware of stuff, but it's like having a sore. If you keep rubbing it, it's not going to get better. And we have to understand our emotions, our happiness emotion can be like that. You can deny yourself it by constantly staying in that state of worryingness. I call it the CNN effect. It takes a pimple and makes it a volcanic eruption. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sensationalism, you know, always done with that dramatic voice. So perhaps we need to ask ourselves then, what is it about the drama that I'm constantly drawn to? And have I chosen drama, you know, over joy or over happiness?
Well, I notice that my own experience is that when I have some projects that I'm excited about, or when I feel that I'm traveling towards some goals that are exciting, I'm less interested in what is going on outside.
Mm-hmm.
And when I allow myself to get a bit bogged down, that is when I pay attention to things that aren't really my business or that I don't have a lot of power over.
Yeah.
So for me, I think, and I think for all of us, if we can maintain goals that have meaning for us, if we can maintain involvement in with the people around us that we can perhaps impact and help, if we have some meaningful direction, then we don't get hijacked by things that are perhaps less uplifting that we have no power over.
Yeah. Yes. You know, you talk about people who have great success, you know, without the big degrees, or, you know, called the BBAs and NDAs and all these initials at the end of it. There isn't any self-importance about them. And most of the time you'll find these people are in jobs that they simply love because they're also of service to humanity.
Yeah, very much so. Mm-hmm. And it may be that they are of service in jobs that we wouldn't necessarily think that they're they're doing that. I'm in How Life Works, I talk about a neighbor of mine who had no degrees in hospitality, but she over a period of about 30 years had 14 appointments as general manager of exotic hotels all over the world. Her name was Caroline, and she managed hotels in the Himalayas and on the Great Barrier Reef and in Sydney and in the Golden Triangle in Thailand. And she never applied for one job. And she had this belief that when the next experience was ready for her, she would be ready for it. And that's how her life unfolded.
Yeah. She was in the right groove and the right vibration, so it found her. Whether it's other people consider it unfortunate, I don't. You know, I wasn't a highly educated person. I left school early in life. I was a sickly child, so spent so much time away. You know, just the end, I didn't finish it. And so it was always about, you know, what's your degree? What are your credentials? What are your this or that? And, you know, what university to go to? Well, I went to the University of Life. My credentials is experience. And, you know, my degree is when I've mastered an experience. But I walked myself into jobs. One of them was Mobil Oil. I was the first woman rep in South Africa. Didn't know a thing about oil. I never knew anything about oil. But I knew something about people and how to listen to what they needed. And really, when you were looking at it, it was all public relations. It was all about what service they needed. And I think I wasn't hung up on education at that time. I just went and did. I found when I came to North America, it was very prevalent. What's your degree? What's your this and what's your that? And yes, education is great if you're wanting to specialize, if you're wanting to have tools, and if you're wanting to have knowledge in certain areas, absolutely. No education bashing here. But it's not the be-all and the end-all. We've got to understand our experience is education, isn't it? It's what we bring to the table. And someone like her, who's actually been in the business firsthand, knows exactly what people need. So that's the best kind of degree I think you can have.
Very much so. And the other thing I noticed about her, her name was Caroline, was that she just, wherever she was, she just loved it. She loved the people.
Yes.
And so it comes back to this thing of being in the moment.
Yeah. Yes. I think the other thing too is also don't sell yourself short. You know, people are so busy looking for happiness, they don't realize, as you said, it's being happy. Then you'll know what happiness looks like. But it's also, if you don't love your job, if you don't love what you do, you're never going to be happy in it. So never do anything that's an expectation. I was talking to a young man on the ferry yesterday who's doing accounting in business. And he says, well, I'm good at it, but it's not what I want to do. I want to be a fireman. So, you know, it's a backup plan. But his first passion is being the fireman. And I said, well, how about you be the fireman with the business degree, and you show them how serious you want to grow in being a fireman. Make sure the fireman is the passion that you're feeding, what you really want to do. And so many people, well, I, you know, I'm doing this because I should, but this is what I really want to do. Why don't we go after what we really want to do?
And not place limits on what is possible.
Yeah.
Because my own experience is when I began writing books, the assumption was that I had a degree in psychology because I was writing books about happiness. And my view was it was time a cartoonist wrote a book about happiness. And that not being a psychologist gave me a lot more freedom because I didn't have to write or explain to satisfy my peers.
And it also, I know, not offending anyone here, it's not highfalutin. because sometimes languages are used in psychology that is beyond people, you know, what it really does mean. Whereas a simple statement in a cartoon type statement hits home, as with the cake. That didn't need any, you know, deep understanding or deep meaning. It was, you know, very, very obvious. The same with the one, reap, you know, who someone lies here who was going to be happy tomorrow. And that statement, you know, we can laugh at it because we know we've been it. You know, we put happiness off for tomorrow or get to it tomorrow. You've only got today, haven't you? Nothing tomorrow is going to be any better unless you pay attention to today.
Yes. And the other thing about today was that even though we're often dissatisfied or worried, today is usually pretty good.
Yes.
Even if we're stressed, it's not about what's happening in the moment. It's more about what might happen because this has happened.
Mm.
And unless you're having a heart attack or being eaten by a bear, you're probably you're probably okay. You're probably doing pretty well right now.
Yes.
You probably have enough air to breathe and you probably have enough to eat. So when we're stressed, it's usually not because of something that's happening right now. It's more like we've got this thought form that says, because A has happened, B might happen tomorrow or next week.
And the that's anticipation. Where did this come from that we had to worry, you know, about tomorrow? I understand in the, you know, the olden days, it's if the, you know, the hunt or the crops didn't come up, was it going to take you through the winter and you're going to have to, you know, minimize the food and is everybody going to make it? You know, different times, folks, you've got a grocery store around the corner. Nobody needs to go hungry. We can grow our own in the garden. You know, there's so many other things that we can do today. And I've spoken, you know, as a spiritual counselor myself, I've spoken to so many people. Yes, but what if? Yes, but what if? And I go, yes, what if you enjoy this moment? And this moment elevates and takes you into another enjoyment and then another one. And the next thing you know, you've had several days of beautiful enjoyment. Yeah. And what if you actually really like that feeling? How are you going to know unless you're willing to step into it?
Yes. And instead of when we have that thought that everything is going really well, maybe it's all about to crash.
Yes, yes. Oh, this is too good to last.
We can have the other thought that says, this is so good, maybe it's about to get better.
Yes. Again, it's what we feed. It really is. I mean, when we talk about frequency and energy, it doesn't know right or wrong. It's just that's the frequency you're in. That, you know, I actually kind of miss the radio where you kind of turn the knob and you can get that frequency just between the two channels. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the digital, I think so many people are pushing buttons. They're missing those prime little channels that will kind of set you off on your own frequency. And when you get there into your own groove, into your own rhythm of life, you really start to notice that everything around you becomes more rhythmical. Everything is kind of set in tune with you and everything starts going right. And it's like, I really like this. Why didn't I do this earlier? And, you know, and how do I stay on this path? You stay in that thought process, don't you? You stay in that elevated heart process because it's really about your heart, isn't it?
Yeah. It's about how you feel. And feelings are what generate results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And change your feeling, change your destiny. That was Neville Goddard that said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, feelings. We get so caught up in them. Oh, he said this to me, she said that to me, or this was done, and that person looked at me odd, and my feelings were hurt. Well, perhaps if you don't take it so seriously, and you don't get so offended, but also understand that if somebody is picking on you or doing something, it's genuine an issue they're dealing with. You don't have to accept it.
Yeah, yeah. So again, it comes down to a matter of choice. We have so many more choices than we grew up believing about choosing to be happy on a daily basis. We just wake up and we say, this is my day. I'm going to make it. I'm going to be happy today. And that is my course for the next 24 hours.
Yes, exactly. I love the idea that you have taken it through, you know, the cartoons, because let's go back, you know, how far, where, you know, I grew up in England and there were all sorts of magazines along, and of course they always ended up in the loo, the toilet, because that's where people would sit and look at them, and you just hear laughter coming from the bathroom. Knock on the door, I need to go pee, hang on, I'm having fun, you know, I'll come out when I'm ready. But it was always so in relation to life. And I think if we can't laugh at life, you know, we take it all too seriously, that's why we get so bogged down. So certainly having things that kind of make us relate with self. Oh, gosh, I do that. You know, I've got to stop doing that. Or something that shows reflection of going on in life. And it goes, yeah, you know, I could get angry about that. But on the other hand, I could lighten up and just laugh about it. Right? So this is how all of these beautiful little things make us look at life and lighten up about it, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, I read something the other day which gave me pause for thought. It said that on average, around about 10 people will cry at your funeral.
Mm.
And the idea was, that's if the weather's fine. If it's raining, probably 5 people who would cry will show up. And the idea is that after a lifetime of making what we think are momentous decisions and figuring that we are so important and that everybody's watching us, at the end of all that, there's maybe between 5 or 10 people who are sufficiently upset that there'll be tears.
Yeah,
and it just perhaps renews our perspective on why should we take our life and things within it that seriously, and even more so, why should we hold ourselves back while worrying what it is that people think?
Because big one.
They don't think much.
No,
and it's better that they don't, because they've got a life to lead.
Do you find it's not necessarily what people think, it's what people judge? You know, I don't think people who judge other people think. I think they just go ahead and judge people.
Yeah, and that's a reflection of how they feel about themselves. Anyway.
Precisely. Yeah. So we're always going to judge what we don't understand or are unwilling to know, or what's different, right? Yeah. God forbid you should be different. God forbid you should have a different perspective or look at life in a different way. Oh, God forbid you should be happy. Why aren't you being sad at this moment? You
well,
know,
happy
and it's,
people can be irritating if.
Oh yeah, yeah. We can also be contagious, right? You know how it is when you get around someone laughing.
Yes.
You know, there was a beautiful video put out of just babies laughing. Just the whole video was babies laughing. You know, they get that laughter where they actually sound like they're drunk, you know, and they just get caught up into it. And it's so intoxicating that you can't help but laugh with it. It's the same way when you look at kittens and puppies and things, you can't help but smile and get that all warm, fuzzy feeling. So if you're finding it a hard time to step into joy or happiness, go and do things like that that's going to reset you. You'll get there.
You know, very much so. I mean, I was saying at a seminar the other day that happy people don't want to be around miserable people, and so if people say, well, my friends are so negative, our friends and our life partners are a reflection of who we are. And so when a guy says, my friends are so negative, you know, I wouldn't advertise. I wouldn't be proud of that.
Right. Yeah, because why are you still hanging around with them? There's something drawing you to them and vice versa.
Yeah, how come you're attracting them? And happy people don't want to be around miserable people. I mean, when the last time that you were at a party, when did anyone stand up and say, let's call up some miserable people and invite them over?
That brings into question with somebody I know that she has people from her past, you know, that she's really excelled in life and really achieved a great deal, and she really loves her, who she is and where she is now, and she has people from her past and she feels that she should bring them along with her, and you know, and that they should be, you know, experiencing some of her success and joy because maybe it'll rub off on them. But you know, we can do that to a point, but we have to realize, don't we, that it doesn't matter who you are, what's happened to you, because I know some people do get, you know, handed a rough deal. It's still our choice and how we choose to react to life and what we choose to feed. You'll hear stories of even children with cancer, how instead of just laying in the deathbed, they know that their days are numbered, but they're out there, you know, making a difference, you know, stepping up and saying, I might have a short life, but I'm going to do something with it. That choice to be, not everybody's meant to excel. Not everybody's meant to have this big, huge achievement. Maybe it's simply just living happy day to day. That's it. But it's still our choice, isn't it?
Yeah, and children seem to be able to do that so much better.
They're not carrying this, I don't know, this expectation baggage that we were brought up with.
Yeah, so our mission is to learn from kids.
Yes, yes. I mean, you know, as I say, this nine-year-old with her book, I mean, I was expecting to kind of have to change the way I do the interview. I was just blown away by her simple articulation, the way she looked at it. And it's just like an aha moment of like, yeah, why am I sweating that stuff? Mm-hmm. You know, why am I complicating? Why do we take on the drama? You know, it's we certainly don't need it if we just simply enjoy the silly things in life. And I, you know, I've heard of cases of people who, you've got cancer, you've got a short time to live, and they just lock themselves in a room with good food and just watch comedy the whole time. Next, when they come out, they're actually healed.
Yeah, Norman Cousins was one of the first. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He wrote a book called The Anatomy of an Illness, didn't he?
Yes. And I know so many people here on Self-Discovery Radio have done, last month I just did my 1,000th show, and pretty well everybody has a journey that they've taken that redirect from something, really some people, catastrophic. I mean, how they managed to get out of bed is a miracle in itself. And yet who they are today and what they've done because of that experience, because they chose to learn from it, to grow from it, and then what they've learned from it, they now apply to other people's lives. And it just shows such strength and such courage, and because they also seek the joy in life.
Yeah. Which makes me think, I got into this journey, Sarah, because at 25, I made this shocking discovery. I discovered that the happiest people I knew had bigger problems than me.
Mm.
And that made no sense.
Right.
How can this be? As you would know, I came across people who were still dealing with cancer, people who had gone broke, people who had lost loved ones way before time. And yet they seemed to have more meaning and more direction and more joy than the average.
Yeah.
And that was what really, I suppose, impressed me, but had me come to understand that it wasn't that life gets easier and then you become happier.
Yeah.
It's that you just start to see it differently. And that was what led to the first book of many.
Right.
And then ultimately How Life Works, yes.
Well, we're going to talk a bit. I want to go backtrack and talk about some of those books, because I don't want people just to be looking at this book. I want them to look at the whole series here. Because also, I also do believe the book comes when you're ready. You know, I will go into a bookstore and it's what book needs to speak to me.
Yes.
And you know, you're drawn to something. You know, don't go in there, I need this. You know, just go in and allow, cruise. And a book will come out and you'll just open up a page and there is something you need, right? And that's the book for you in that moment. And you've got a whole series of books. So back goes the glasses so I can actually see what I'm doing here. But, you know, let's look. You've got the How Life Works and Being Happy, Follow Your Heart. Being a Happy Teen, that one we have to talk about. Happiness in a Nutshell, Happiness Now, Stop the Bullying, and Success in Happiness. Now, I'm going to dive right into being happy as a teen. Having had three teens myself, I know that the happiness ratio could be utterly, you know, end of the world right moment, and then swing to the other side of hysterical joy the next, because those hormonal pendulums going in there. Please tell us about that book, because, you know, if you've shared any wisdom there, there's a lot of people that need it.
Well, firstly, thank God that my wife is my publisher, my wife Julie, and so thank God that it was her idea that we do this book for teens. What we found was that a lot of teenagers were reading Being Happy and our other books. And so Julie said, we need to create a book that speaks to teens with their kinds of problems.
Yeah.
Friendship problems and boyfriend problems and particularly parent problems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Being a Happy Teen was a book that really looks at a lot of the thoughts and the ideas of being happy and follow your heart. That we do choose happiness, that we can set goals and choose little steps, but that it's in teen language and it's dealing with teen issues. Mm. And that book has gone right around the world. It's still a bestseller in Mexico, Russia. And so it was a real joy to see that book became so popular.
There are teens everywhere. We don't get to adulthood without being a teenager. So most certainly. You did one also on Stop the Bullying. I've done a number of shows on bullying and so many people, adults' issues of insecurity, of inability to love or have any form of success in life can be switched to two things. The inner child, which also can lead to narcissism and a number of other things. But most people's pains comes down from that childhood. And bullying is a huge, big one of them, isn't it?
It's not only a massive problem, but it's a difficult problem. Mm-hmm. So we looked at it from a lot of points of view. And I guess one of the key ones was that from parents' point of view, and this is what whenever we speak to parents is that, children tend not to tell their parents.
Yeah.
Maybe one in 10. And the classic parental response is, well, I know my child, and if she was being bullied, she would tell me. Mm-hmm. Well, she probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
And so we need to be much more aware, and we need to understand that there are many reasons why a child won't tell you that they're being bullied, and it may come down to they'll take away my phone, they'll take away my laptop, they'll start controlling where I go. If I tell my parents, then I might lose all of my sort of things that my gadgets that keep me in contact with what's happening, and I'd rather know what's happening even if it's bad than not mm-hmm. know what's happening. My parents might show up at school and ruin my life. There's a dozen reasons.
Yes.
So the thing that parents need to understand is that when a child is being bullied, they probably won't tell you.
And I think, having had three kids, and my one daughter went through a horrible bullying by a bunch of girls at her school, kicking the toilet stalls down and, honing in on her. I mean, all sorts of things. And we did know about it. And of course, my husband did want to go down there and, just beat the kids up. And is it not the answer? And I wanted to go and talk to the teachers about it. And she said, no, I have to work this out myself.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing, and all we could do was say, whatever they're bullying, it is their issue. You're going through it. But understand when you come home, you're loved. You're loved and you're supported here. The very interesting thing is like later on when she left school, she actually met the ringleader. And that ringleader said, I am so sorry for bullying you. And I am in awe of your strength. You never gave in. And so it became for her kind of a justification of everything she went through and realizing that it was part of her life's journey to gain some strength, her inner strength herself, and not let this happen to her. But as a parent, it's very painful to watch your kids go through that. But I think, as you said, it's part of their journey. As long as it's sexual abuse or beating up, they're terrified. Obviously, we need to step in there if it becomes life-threatening or anything like that. But the other thing is to show them your love. And get, the strength, that love, and reward them for the tenacity that they've chosen to take, because it's very important.
Yeah, yeah.
A big one, and one that really, really, really needs to be spoken about. And if you are doing it by introducing humor into it, it lightens it up and it opens up the conversation a lot more, doesn't it?
In the context of bullying? In the context of bullying?
Yeah. Well, in anything, actually, I think sometimes through humor, And even with the bullying, you know, it might be something that if you kind of do something funny on it, it opens people up to laughing about it, then maybe opens up into the topic easier than being too serious about it.
Yeah, I mean, we go back to the original statement and the reason for how life works is that happiness makes us successful, and part of being happy is being lighthearted and not being so intense and not taking ourselves so seriously. And if we look at those extraordinary people who just seem to go from one success to the other. I mean, one can't help but think of a Richard Branson, for example.
I was thinking of him all the way through the show. Yes, he's an amazing example.
Or even a Usain Bolt. I mean, he's an athlete, but he's a joker. He's a fellow who enjoys the moment. But to go back to Sir Richard Branson, you know, he'll dress up as a bride. He'll do whatever just seems like fun in the moment. Mm-hmm. And he's a great role model for those of us who would take ourselves too seriously. It's not that serious. We need to take humor more seriously.
But it's also, you know, understanding, you know, like I had a young girl on called Kashi who was a burn victim from a plane crash. Two people survived. She got 65% of her body burnt, over 100 operations, clearly, obviously disfigured in her face. I mean, just the courage and strength alone to go through all of that. But she went on to America's Got Talent. I was blown away. You know, there I see my Keshi up there singing. She went all the way to the finals. And it's like, and she has such a great sense of humor. And just one of those shows that always stays with you, right? Because just I have such admiration because she chose to live in I'm living in gratitude. I wasn't my time to die. So I'm going to live. I'm going to live to the fullest. And then I had her on with a veteran who was a burn victim who actually chose comedy to survive. I mean, his whole skull was burnt right down, lost an arm, and he chose comedy, you know, can't run the fingers through his hair anymore, you know, all these type of things. And the two of them together were one of those shows that made you cry, not because you were sad, but just because of what beautiful people they were. And they are, that they have, and the way they've chosen to embrace life. And I mean, that's what becomes such an example to us. What are we bitching about?
I mean, people like that just enable us to, again, reset what is important. The other thing that amazes me, in the last year or so, I've given a few speaking presentations with a fellow by the name of Nick Vujicic, who's an Australian who was born with no arms and no legs.
And yes,
he's written like six international best-selling books. He's one of the world's most highly paid speakers. he started a foundation to help disabled people. He has no arms and no legs. And we say, isn't that extraordinary? I mean, the much more common thing is someone else should be helping me out. And this guy, no arms, no legs, is out there saying, I'm going to have a foundation active in 60 countries.
Right. I mean, but again, going down to choice, I had Alvin Lauron, who was born with no arms, and he plays the drums with his, you know, with his toes, and he does all sorts of other things, you know. And again, going back to attitude, you know, you have to have that positive attitude. We're going to get dealt things along the line. It's part of our life's journey, and sometimes it's to challenge us to rise up and be more than what we can be, and that's part of what, you know, our little soul contract is. But you can look at some people like that and go and think, poor them. They don't think they're poor them. All they've done is looked at their challenge and go, okay, these are my limitations. So I can't do that and I can't do this. But that doesn't mean I can't go and do a whole load of that. And I think that's what we have to look at in life. So you're limited on this or that. What else can you do abundantly that doesn't require your body? Or doesn't require this, or doesn't require an education? Because we can all be abundant, we can all let our cup run over, can't we?
Yeah, and Nick's story was very much that. Mm-hmm. As a teenager, he began to, excuse me.
That's okay.
he began to ask himself, what, let me stop focusing on what I cannot do. Let me start focusing on what I can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as you say, that's a message for all of us.
It is. But not anybody, we don't get through life without something. And it's, you can go, why me? Or poor me? Instead, it's, I kind of, you know, I've got a few limitations myself, and it's partnership with my body. Maybe to make me more grounded. I don't know. But, you know, it's also to understand that maybe physically I'm not meant to do as much as I am meant to do emotionally, or, you know, in other ways. It's, where are you going to take your energy, and what are you going to put it on? Right? And what you put it on is where that meaning, beautiful purpose is going to happen. And if you're putting all of that energy on feeding whatever's wrong with you, then whatever's wrong with you is going to magnify. Right? You can still have something wrong with you, but go and feed it on something that you want to represent, and feed that, and you'll find whatever's wrong with you may never go, but it's certainly not going to have the high volume.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
There's another book here I want to talk about, because all of them I'd love to talk about, but you know, it's just The Happiness in a Nutshell.
Yep. That was my wife's idea that we create a little book. So those are the, those.
Your
are,
wife is very wise, by the way.
My wife is wise beyond belief.
Mm-hmm. Good and partner to have.
So, yeah, Happiness in a Nutshell was just a collection of the thoughts that have been most popular and that I like the most, yeah.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
It's the middle of the night. You should be sleeping. Your body's saying, you should be sleeping, not doing this interview.
Yeah.
I think also that a lot of people are always waiting for perfection, aren't they? I will do this when I've got this down perfect. I'll only do that when it's perfect. Nothing ever is perfect. I find the most beautiful perfections are in the imperfections. Is when things go wrong, and from that, things go so right. But if we're so wound up of what must be perfect, we're putting so much pressure on ourselves, and we're never going to enjoy anything because we're so caught up in what that perceived perfection should be.
And which means that done is better than perfect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we postpone things.
Yes.
I need to get something for my throat. Can I do that?
Yes, please do. Please do. I'm just going to refer to your other books while you do that, because, folks, it is 3 o'clock in the morning for him there. Bless his heart. I didn't realize he was that time difference. But, you know, How Life Works is his latest book. And then The Being Happy, which is a handbook to greater confidence and security. Follow Your Heart is one which is really wonderful as well, because if you don't follow your heart, how are you going to lead to happiness? When you do live in your heart and your joy, then you truly do actually understand what happiness really is, because you're doing it from a heart space, which is very, very important. So always stepping into something you love is always going to lead you to success. So I know you're going to have to go and do another one in a moment, but I want to talk about Following Your Heart and then also the Success book.
Well, Follow Your Heart was very much about enjoying career and being successful in career. And it touches on a theme that we looked at earlier, which is sometimes we have the belief that we need to have a certain education or a background or something in order to do what we love. My thought was very much that, and from my own experience, that firstly, if you want to live a happy life, if you can't be doing what you love in your work time, then you at least need to be doing it in your spare time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then if you can do that in your spare time and do it well and love it, you give it a chance to evolve into a career.
Yeah.
And too often we have very rigid ideas about how our life or our career should evolve. And if we can just say, I need to do what I love wherever I can fit it in, and then see where that takes me. And so in some kind of encapsulation, that is what Follow Your Heart is about.
Mm-hmm. Right. And sometimes it's that redirect, isn't it? And sometimes it's when you find something you love to do in your pastime, you can actually bring that joy into the work that you're doing now and maybe change the whole way you look at your work that you're currently doing. Because when you elevate that joy within yourself and step into that happiness, you're going to bring that everywhere, aren't you? And into everything that you do.
Yeah. And even if you're in a job now that you think is not perfect, a lady said to me, I'm not sure that this job is perfect for me. I might quit, in a month. So how do I enjoy my work? You enjoy it by giving your best until 4:30. It doesn't matter whether you're going to quit today. Mm-hmm. The joy is in putting your personality, putting your creativity in serving people. And it's not about the job anyway. It's about what you put into it. And the people that love their work, whether they're taxi drivers or whether they're sweeping shopping malls, is that they just are trying to be better at it every day.
Yeah. I mean, it's not doing, it's being, isn't it? If you're bringing your beingness to everything that you do and your beingness is set in that joy and happiness, you're going to bring that happiness and joy to everything that you do. And let's finish off with that that other book of Success and Happiness.
Well, Success and Happiness is actually an audio program. So that was like an encapsulation of things that I've spoken about at seminars over the last 20 years. Embraces the messages from books like Being Happy and Follow Your Heart and How Life Works and the Teen Book and so on.
I'm always saying to people that if you know somebody that's going through a hard time or just, just finding it a little struggle to get through life or to step into joy and happiness, they haven't yet found their groove, give them either these shows or gift them these books. Because I think if you really care for someone, you're not offending them saying, well, you're miserable, have this book. You're saying, this book brought me happiness. I wish to pass this happiness on to you. And, that's the thing is that if, what am I going to get somebody from their birthday or for Christmas or this or that? How about some books that can really hit them where they need it, that can open up their channel and set them on a different vibration? Because, God, if we have more happy people, this world would be so different, wouldn't it?
the other thing, Sarah, is that books are so cheap. What can you buy for $20 or $15 that can uplift someone and change their life and sit on their shelf for a lifetime? I mean, what can compare with that?
Right. And the thing what I love to do with a book, and I'm missing my books behind me because I'd have all my guest books up there. And if you need to know something today, go to that book that speaks to you, open up to a page. There's a message there that you need to know that day. So the books keep on giving. It's not that you just read them and forget about them. You read them, apply them, and you revisit them because they've always got something to say to you. Now, my dear, how do people get your books? How do they find you and et cetera?
Well, the new book, How Life Works, is now on Amazon and it's going into the bookstores all over America. It's released on May 15th, which I think was like yesterday.
Yes, this show is airing next week.
And so go to Amazon and you'll see How Life Works there and you'll see it, I believe, in all good bookstores across America.
Excellent. And they can find you?
They can find me at www.andrewmatthews.com, and I've got newsletters, I've got little 1 week 7 days to happiness free courses, I've got podcasts, I've got lots of things at andrewmatthews.com that everyone can look at, sign up for, and also I've got an active Facebook page where I post happiness cartoons.
Yes, lovely.
And so I'm posting videos now. So my Facebook page is Andrew Matthews Author. And we've got about 40,000 people who see my stuff, get my stuff. And it's a happiness site. So
if you're feeling a bit down, you need a little pick you up, go to your thing, have a happy smile. you're not just doing it for you, you're doing it for all the people that are around you. Because you've elevated that vibration and stepped into that joy, you're bringing that to the table. Yeah. So, you know, you owe it to everyone else to get happy, right?
Yeah. We do.
Yeah.
We do.
And I've Andrew Matthews with a double T, folks. So two T's in the Matthews.
Yes, thank you, Sarah. And I have another interview to go to.
Yes, you do. And I thank you so much. 3 o'clock in the morning. Bless your heart. Thank you so much. There's such wonderful joy here. Keep the happiness going, please. People need a good dose of it. So thank you so much for being with us here today, Andrew.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you. Bye for now.
Until next time, folks. Bye for now.
Bye.
For more wonderful shows like this, please go to selfdiscoveryradio.com, podcasts, and see our lineup. And if you wish to support us, we have a funded button. Please stay tuned for our next show.